You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Hey, y'all. My name is Elizabeth Woodson, and I am the Institute Classes and Curriculum Director. And our scripture reading for today comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hey, I'm going to ask Elizabeth, maybe you got confused at why she got a standing ovation just to read the scriptures. One, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the holy written word of God. But some people are privy to information that maybe others don't have. Elizabeth, we believe we're not convinced, led by the Spirit, is transitioning off of staff. And so I wanted to give her a couple of moments here, but also because many of you don't know. And so I'll speak. Well, let me tell you something, then I want to tell you some things. We had this idea of core classes. Like what could we do to ensure that there was a pathway for anyone who was a member at the Village Church to be marked by the Holy Spirit while they were with us and a kind of robust understanding of what this is all about. And so there was a three-class movement, right? There was Christian story. This is the story you and I are caught up in, the only story there actually is. And then the idea of really Christian belief, why what we believe about God matters. And then lastly, Christian formation. How is it that over a period of time, the Holy Spirit through the Word shapes us and molds us to look more and more like Jesus and step into this thing we've been talking about, our identity, our purpose, our mission? Elizabeth wrote the curriculum for all three of those. She has faithfully taught all three of those. It also taught women's Bible studies, and she has been an integral part of life here. Yeah, you can thank her for that. And then two things. I set them at the nine, so we'll do better this time. Two things. One, you are a stupendously gifted woman. Deep water, brilliant mind, tender heart. I'm praying God protects both of those. Your brilliant intellect and your tender heart. I don't want you to get over sentimental, and I don't want you to get over heady. I want you right where the Lord has you in greater and greater ways. And then two, you are going to be significantly missed around here. The joy at which you operate, the seriousness at which you operate, the depth of which you operate, I don't think will be replaced. God's got something new for us, but it's not replacing you, sis. And so thank you for the last several years of investing in this place. We're better for it. She wants to say a couple of words, and then we're going to dive into this.
A couple of you know my story of how the Lord called me out of the business world 10 years ago in order to come into ministry. And he gave me, captured my heart with this really small desire to help people know what it means to follow him. And there are two words that characterize that call to me, and one is faithfulness and the other one is love. Faithful commitment to the Lord and a love for his people. And in God's divine providence, he brought me here underneath the leadership of JT English, Jen Wilkin, and Mason King, and gave me an opportunity to be faithful to him and to love y'all. Thank you for letting me love y'all. Thank you for letting me teach. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for letting me pray for you, hold space for you. But thank you for doing the same for me. You have welcomed me into your homes. You have covered me in prayer. You have been kind to me. You have shown me what it means to love God and love his people. And I love Jesus more from being here. And so as I transition into a season of just waiting on what's next, faithfulness to the Lord means sometimes you take the unexpected faith jump risk step. And I'm waiting to see what he's going to do to take all that he's put in me to help those who aren't here know what it means to follow Jesus. And so if I had a prayer to leave you with, this would be my prayer. that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Christ Jesus, to the praise and glory of God. Thank you, TVC. I love y'all.
Love you, sis. Yeah. Will you join me in praying for Elizabeth? You can just extend your hand if you would like. If you're at home, you can extend it to the TV. That's a sentence I never thought I would say. But there we are. This is where we are today. All right. Father, we bless this woman in the name of Jesus Christ. Just pray you'd give her the desires of her heart. I thank you. Even just our small talk here, you hadn't wasted a day. You just hadn't wasted a day. And that all the work and struggle and strife, you put it, it's produced fruit, visible fruit. So we bless you for that. Some people don't get to see that, but you're letting Elizabeth have some insight into what she means to us. And so we bless her as she goes. I pray you take care of her every want, her every desire. And I just pray you leverage this thing you've done in her ferocity, tenderness, brilliance, passion into something that just terrifies the enemy all the more. And it's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. Love you, sis. Come on. I knew the Lord was going to test us on this gospel goodbye, be about the kingdom thing. And I'm like, okay, like we passed the test with this guy, this girl, this guy, this guy. And he just keeps taking. But, and I already said it, I don't think you replace the woman like that. I don't know you can. But that's okay, because that's not what the Lord has for us. He's got something else. And so we're just going to be prayerful and open-handed and see what that is with great excitement and zeal. So I want to do a quick recap on our series, because we took last weekend out of the series, just to remind you, and then we've got this week and next week, and then we're headed into Advent. So let me remind you where we've been, and then what I want to talk about today is what I believe is the greatest weapon or threat that faces you and I when it comes to living lives of depth, of identity, of mission, of belonging. What will either keep us from understanding and knowing who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing, or will constantly be trying to pull me out of that, pull you out of that. And so that's my plan, to talk about this great weapon levied against us. And if you're mindful of the weapon, then you can be on defense against it. If you're not mindful, my guess is as I go today, it'll resonate with you, because we all feel it. We just don't know what to do with it, right? And so that's my plan, to lay out in front of you, here's the great weapon leveled against us in this season of life by our great enemy, right? That's the plan. But let me catch you up to where we are. So we started this series called Unearthed way back in the fall, and the idea was, how can we help you see what God is wanting to accomplish in and through you? The idea was that on three different levels, you and I exist. Like, we are humans in one sense, and that's not the hard part, right? At least for most people. Like, we're human beings. We can look around and we can go like, yeah, we're human beings. And then the second thing was that we have a general identity. And that general identity has everything to do with what you do with the person and work of Jesus Christ. That you are either a child of God, so that could be true about all of us in the room, or you're a child of wrath. And all of that has to do with what you do with the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you're a man or a woman that says, I don't care what God wants, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. If your means of identity formation is, let me look inside myself and find my desires, even though they're kind of all over the place, but let me find my desires and go, this is what I am my desires. Now let me find people who agree with my desires, and then let me sprinkle Jesus on top of my desires, trying to use Jesus more like a genie than worshiping at him as a Lord. That's child of wrath stuff. You're literally just saying to God, I'm a better God than you. So even as I say child of wrath, if you bristle at that, man, I've told you for 20 years, Christ has come to save you for that. That's on you. That ain't on him. That's you choosing to be a child of God's wrath. So that's level two. That's general identity. And then lastly, and where we've done most of our work, is around the idea of specific identity. Look at me like, there's only one of you. Like, there's only one of you, and you're incredible. And I'm not saying that to you so you can navel gaze or look in the mirror and think about how awesome you are. I am not ever concerned with your self-esteem. I'm just not. I just think that's it's a dangerous way to play the cards you've been dealt, but I do want you to marvel at God's commitment to you in the gospel, at God's plan for you, at the deepest part of who you are. We talked about you, each one of us as individuals, being uniquely wired by God and uniquely placed by God. We did like 45 minutes of that. Like you, there's only one of you. You're the only one there's ever going to be of you. And you're super unique. In fact, so unique that the Bible basically says that you were made for the day and the day was made for you. Now, how awesome is that idea? That wherever I am, like I'm made for this moment and this moment's made for me. And that's true about you too. Just what it means to belong to him. And then we talked about the idea that even in our past, with some of the hard stuff, and everybody's got hard stuff back there. Some people have hard stuff right now. That God redeems those things. He will not waste them. He doesn't ignore them. That he doesn't give us over to bitterness or regret or creating or falling into, we used this phrase, communities of revenge rather than communities of redemption. And what he does that I always marvel at, and there's a thousand, if you're paying attention to this, you'll see this all the time. What the enemy means for our destruction, God redeems, weaponizes it, and unleashes it back on him. And that's why, rather than you being bitter and angry and constantly regretting and being stuck, paralyzed, instead, we believe that God has redeemed, and what the enemy meant to destroy me will now be levied against him. And we talked through that, and then we talked about the fact that everyone in this room has been given by God unique gifts according to the days that God would have for them, right? So that you have unique talents, and I have unique talents and abilities, and we don't all have the same talents and abilities, and that's because God's weaving together this tapestry for this moment in history that's about the glory of his name and our good. These are the things we've been talking about. And we said that part of our job is to unearth what those gifts and abilities are. Some of them are tied to our life, like we've got a natural bent. And in that natural bent, we kind of made a certain way in life. And that's part of where those gifts are flexed. But oftentimes, and maybe also, at salvation, when we become a Christian and the Holy Spirit indwells us, he comes with new gifts, gifts that you didn't have at all before the Holy Spirit filled you. And so then you've got this kind of combination of natural ability that he brought about for the days that he designed for you and this new gift levied on that. But that gets a shot of Holy Ghost steroid, and then you get this new gift, and that's you. And we said to discover this requires deep work over time in community. Deep work over time in community. That's what this takes. I am out to convince you that you're running a race, not trying to work a formula. Trying to convince you that you're running a race and not trying to figure out a formula. The number of us that are exhausted, trying to get all the dials turned to the right space rather than acknowledging that, man, we're on a bit of a run. We're in a race. The Bible uses this language about where we find ourselves. And so that's a recap of where we've been. Now, I want to talk to you about what I believe is the biggest threat at seeing any of this happen, either discovering your unique identity and mission or staying in it, right? I don't think it will surprise you. I think there's a weapon that would rob us of all of these, and here's the great enemy. The great enemy is hurry. It's busyness. It's the grind. John Mark Comer says, hurry is violence on the soul. Isn't that great? I mean, it's not. It's awful, right? But hey, how about this? Can't you feel that a little bit? You feel that a little bit? Now, if you're fatigued and in a fog, here, look at me. I do not want to shame you. We're going to have this conversation together. I can feel this in my bones. right? Like just wave after wave, thing after thing. Go, 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 go. Hurry, grind, get it done. Run, always another thing. Listen, I get it. Like, I've got three kids. My kids love sports. I love that my kids love sports. Not one of them is going to be a professional athlete, but all of them are going to learn disappointment, and they're going to learn hard work, and they're going to learn how to be on a team, and they're going to learn how to hang in there for their brother or sister and fight even when there's not a chance of winning. And that's what sports brings. I love that, and we're going to create space for it. But creating space for it adds to our life chaos. Anybody else? Am I talking to myself here? It's just chaos, man. And then, like, I'm a pastor of a pretty large church. And then I do this thing with Acts 29 that's a global church planning network. And then, look, I really like my wife. And I want time with her without these other people. And then I like my kids, so I want time with them without everybody else. And so I can just feel it, that the calendar incessantly won't leave me alone, that the opportunities won't go away, that the pull and the pace is insane. I can feel it in my guts. All that to say, so I'm with you today. I'm not up here saying I got it solved. I'm saying I've figured a couple of things out, and maybe we should work together on this. So there ain't no drive-by shaming in this game. It's been, like, for me even, well, let me just stick to my notes. I love this. This is from Sharon Miller. For many of us, the only time we are silent is at night. That's why worry and fear mob us in the darkness. Hey, you feel that? You feel mobbed in the darkness? Those anxieties were with us all day, but we were too busy and distracted, I love this phrase, to search them in the company of Jesus. Life can endlessly pile on itself until the whole experience of being alive melts into one enormous obligation. You feel that? One enormous obligation. If we forget to rest, we will work too hard and we will forget our more tender mercies. We'll forget to play. Let me ask a question. When's the last time you just played? You remember that when you were a kid? Like, just played, man. Like, it did nothing other than, man, you got to just play for a little bit. You know, we serve a playful God. You know that play is a gift. What? Why do we move so fast away from play? Well, why do we move it out of our lives or see it as something that just children do? No, play is a gift from God. We'll forget to play. We'll forget those we love. We'll forget our children and friends, and we will lose our natural wonder. I love this quote from John Mark Comer. We feel distant from ourselves. He's speaking of busyness. We lose sight of our identities and our callings. We get sucked into the tyranny of the urgent, not the important. Again, I'm telling you, this is exactly where I am right now. I'm telling you, middle school basketball is killing me right now. I mean, I'm living in my car. Anybody else living in their car? Anybody else trying to find time for a dinner together? We're going to get Thanksgiving maybe. We're trying to line that thing up. Like, it's just madness all the time. My life, Lauren's life, Reed's life, Nora's life, Audrey's life, the dog's sick. When did I say yes to that? I've got a friend who has a wonderful plan for my life. You got that friend? So I was like, you know what you need to be doing? I need you to stop telling me what I need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing. Right? Now, I love the passage that Elizabeth read there in Mark chapter 2. And really, the thrust of that whole passage is in verse 27 when he said to them, the Sabbath was made for the man, not the man for the Sabbath. So I need you to look at me. More than rules and regulations, God is after your heart. The Sabbath is about your heart. It's about finding space to remember that you're human. You're not a machine. And that you're loved not by what you produce or what you do, because of by nature of who you are, a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus. And yet, we live in a world where, listen, it is a kind of status symbol to be busy, isn't it? Like, it used to be the house and the car, maybe the vacations. Now it's busyness. Have you ever, you really want to disorient someone when you say, hey, how you doing? And everybody answers the same way. Busy. Just ask why. right? Because it's kind of, it's a status symbol. Of course, I'm busy. Do you think I'm lazy? You calling me lazy? I'm so busy. Where am I? I'm supposed to be somewhere else. Right? It's this symbol of status now. I'm busy. I'm exhausted. I'm hanging in there. I'm like, this ought not be. Like, that's not living life. So what's the solution? Two things. Deep peace is found when we embrace our humanity and we embrace our unique calling. That's my flow. And then I want to hop in quickly. I don't think you can figure out your unique identity and mission, nor can you belong deeply if life's moving at 1,000 miles an hour. I just don't think it's possible. So even this, like this whole series, like we've done a ton of work, and then we kind of set you up to just smash it out of the park. Right, we're like, hey, we got some identity worksheets for you. Here's some questions that are going to really kind of stir things up in your soul and get you. And how many of you have been like, man, that sounds amazing, like resonates with you? Like, oh, I can feel that. Oh, man, I want that. I ain't got no time to do no worksheets. Anybody? It's okay. It's all right. I know. Yes, I get it. Like, I don't have time to no worksheets right now. I ain't going to be doing no soul level work. I got stuff to get done. It's the holidays, Chandler. Right? You feel it. It's this... kind of, it's the tyranny of the urgent, and you can't even slow down enough to see it's not actually all that urgent. See what I'm saying? See how it robs you. And then if you find your passion, here's what I'm saying, you gotta watch that right hand from the enemy. Like even when you, like when I kind of figured out this is what God built me for, well then, man, I'm a grinder, man. I was like, oh, let's go. You know, 90-hour week, let's get it done. I mean, I just like freaked out for a while, and then I forgot that, like many of you, that I'm human. So when the Bible talks about our humanity, it's never like glowing, right? It's always like really, really, really honest. Like, I mean, you're like a vapor. Here in the morning, gone in the afternoon. It talks about our physicality. Like, it's just talking about how weak and pathetic we really are in comparison to the rest of creation. In fact, let me read you this passage. This is about our physical bodies. Here's what's crazy. I taught through this passage in 2006. I didn't see myself on the list at all. Now I'm all up on this list. So let me read this to you. This is Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8. Remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. The author is saying, you live long enough, there'll be a day that you hate that you woke up in the morning. And then he gets more detailed than I'd like. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after rain. Listen, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. That's a reference to, if you've ever been around men and women who are really old, not as old as anybody in here. You guys are spring tickets, but like old. What happens is their mouth starts to tremble. You ever notice that? And when they're trying to eat, their mouth and their hands, they begin to tremble. And then the strong men are bent. This is legs and back. And the grinders cease because they are few. That's your teeth. And those who looked through the windows are dim. That's eyesight. Now we're getting personal. Like I'm wearing contacts this week for the first time. I can't hardly see you. I can't bear. Like, look, you want to read my notes? Because you can. Like I had to go do this eye test, and for the first time in my life, man, I covered my right eye to read, and my left eye was like, nope. Like before, I could be like, it's an O, it's a Q, and this time, my left eye was like, it ain't nothing for you. And so now I'm trying to figure this thing out. I don't know if you remember when you first got contacts, I've been like ripping at my eye all week. I'm serious, like this is kind of blurry, you're kind of blurry, we're just making our way through this thing. This is what he's talking about. Like they get dim on you. And then he just keeps going. And the doors of the street are shut. That's a reference to hearing. I'm 47 and more I'm going, huh? And then like I'll blame the kids for mumbling. I don't care. They'll recover. They're fine. It's like, quit mumbling. Like, look at me when you talk. This is me. I wasn't, 06, I wasn't on this list. 2021, almost 22. I'm like, oh yeah, that's 100%. When the sound of grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird, that's sleeplessness. And all the daughters of the song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is on high, that's God. and terrors are in the way. I saw this. I hadn't been able to forget it. It was heartbreaking, and there was some kind of documentary that followed around some men and women in their 80s and 90s, and they just filmed them as they did their kind of daily things. And when they showed them the video back, almost all of the man and woman wept because they didn't realize how slow they were moving. They had no idea. Like this one woman, I'll never forget, she was trying to pay money at the register, and it was a crawl. I mean, I'm gonna be straight. If I was behind her, I'd have been agitated. And she had no idea. She thought she was moving normal speed. So when they showed her the video, it just broke her heart. That's haunted me. One, because I know it's my future, and two, hopefully it's made me more patient of a human being. She had no idea she was moving that slow. This is what this is referencing. And desires fail. That's talking about sexual desire. That sexual desire eventually vanishes. Now, some of you find that hard to believe. Others of you are looking forward to that happening. Is that too much, Jason? I got to check the chairman of the elders. I'm good? Okay. Now, this keeps going, but here's what I want you to understand. This is coming for all of us. Now, the hope is, as the physical being kind of does this, that our wisdom actually does the opposite. That we grow in wisdom as the body rebels. That's what needs to happen. But here's what I want to say. Even if you ain't on this list, if you're like, that's decades away, you are still far more frail than you think you are. Like, you need sleep, man. You can't do this stuff without sleep. You need to eat. You need to move your body. You are a human being. You don't sleep, you're going to break down. You don't eat, you're going to break down. You don't move your body, you're going to break down. Like the great theologian Sting lamented. Right? You know the song where he talks about how fragile we are? Just like want to pretend that we're not fragile. This is, and listen, young men and women, they do this far more than older men and women. Like, I'm already feeling me decisions. Like when college kids are like, you want to play some ball? It's like, no, I like my Achilles tendon. I'm going to just keep that in place. I'm fine. I mean, if you want me to just spot up and take a three, I'll do that. But I ain't playing no defense. Like, I'm feeling like I'm not doing that. I'm going to hurt myself. Man, I didn't even think I could be hurt in my 30s. Anybody like, I can't be hurt in my 30s. Now I'm like, no, I can be hurt badly. Right? This is how the Bible talks about us. We're weak. We're frail. We're human. And then not just physically, but even in regards to our intellect or what we know. I love this. This is James 4, 13 through 13 and 14. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I love this. I mean, it's hard stuff, isn't it? It's just really the Bible going, I mean, what do you really know? Right? I mean, what do you really know? You like got big plans that you have no capacity to control the outcomes for. You've got a finish line that probably doesn't actually exist. And this is the Bible kindly trying to draw us into what it means to be human. Look at me. Because that's what we are. Nothing more than that. Nothing less than that. Humans, finite creatures of a good creator, God. We are not God. God does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God is not given gifts by humans that he might have to repay any of them. No one has known the mind of the Lord or been able to be the Lord's counselor. But you and me, now we need counsel, we need rest, we need sleep and slumber, we need to protein up. Got to do it, right? Now, I wonder what it would be like to embrace this and not take on more than humanly possible. So I wonder the sheer amount of sleeplessness, anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, feeling inadequate, being sad, angry, hopeless, feeling incompetent and guilty is tied actually to an attempt to be superhuman rather than just human. I wonder how much is tied to feeling like you've got to be some sort of varsity Christian rather than just settling in to being a child of God. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I believe in the grind. I believe in the hustle. I think you should work hard because time is short, but not at the expense of your soul, not at the expense of your soul. And that's what Sabbath is about. And maybe you're like, listen, I hear what you're saying, but my life is just chaos. And no offense to you, but it's kind of a big deal in my world. If I don't show up, then things might not happen. And I appreciate that. But I just want to bring your attention. Again, not trying to dog anybody. I'm with you on all of this. Just want to bring your attention to Luke 5, 15 and 16, where it says, but now even more the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That Jesus, the Son of God incarnate, knows to live life out of fullness and not depletion. So what does he do? I mean, catch this. Like, his ministry is blowing up. His industry is exploding. Like, this is the dream, right? I mean, great crowds of people are gathering for what end? To be healed of infirmities. That's a pretty big deal. To have demons cast off. Look, man, I want to get into that. Let's go. And the disciples, read the Gospels. They're constantly going, where did he go? Like, they wake up, he's just gone. You know where he is? In the quiet, in the stillness with his heavenly Father. So I'm not trying to compare your busyness and importance to Jesus's, but, right? And I know this stuff is, this is why I think you have to do deep work over a long period of time in community, because some of you, what's actually going on is you feel like if you don't show up, you're gonna be replaced. And then what would that mean about you? I know that haunts you, man. I know it. Some of you are like, well, what if I don't show up and somebody else is the one that, and then they realize they don't need me anymore. These are the things that are at play, and we're moving so fast we can't even see it. Like, what would happen if you took that, you could see it for what it is, and you could bring it, as Sharon said, into the presence of Jesus to talk about what that is and why that's there. This is the deep work we're talking about. Right? So we have to embrace our humanity. And then we have to embrace our unique call. Very quickly on this. The more I see and understand my unique call, how I've been uniquely wired and uniquely placed in this moment, uniquely gifted for this moment, that helps me say no to a billion things. I joked about it earlier. You got that friend that always has an idea about what you should be doing? Do you? I have them. I got tons of them. And nobody hates what those friends say to us. You know, like, man, I just noticed this. I think you should probably plug in over here. Man, you got a real gift there. You should plug in here. There's a thin line between the encouragement of others to use our actual gifts and people that just think we should be busying ourselves in different spaces. Yeah, man, it's just going to free you up. Say, no, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. No, I'm not. This is what God's asked of me. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm giving myself over to. And it being uniquely mine. And so this is for free. I love watching several of you. I love watching the Campbells, the Kings. There's those of you in the Andersons. You guys have these like ministries that you do, and you love people, and you work with people, and you walk alongside of them. And I think that's incredible. But I've never looked at you and gone, I'm supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm not supposed to be. Y'all supposed to be doing that. So I just want to cheer you on. Go get them. I'm going to stay in my lane. But hey, can we be honest for a second? Don't you feel pulled when you see something that you're like, oh man, that's cool. Maybe my life should be looking like that. Wonder if I should orient my whole world around that. No. You listen, the day was made for you and you for the day. This is what the act of discovery for you should be of utmost importance, and then protecting it from there. So enjoying or embracing our unique call helps. Now, let me just end with this. 7 years ago, and here, this is my deep work over time in community. 7 years ago, I don't know how to describe it except like this. I felt thin. Does that make sense? Does that resonate? I just felt thin. I couldn't figure out if I was spiritually tired or physically tired. Here's what I know. The way I was doing life wasn't working anymore. I would be exhausted. And then here's what I would do. And again, I'm trying to be one of you in this. I would go, oh man, I've got this break coming. I've got this vacation coming. I've got this break. I'm going to tie everything off. I'm going to jet out for a week. And I'm going to sit on that beach with Lauren with that virgin daiquiri. You know we're holy. And just going to listen to the waves and take a nap and read a book. And we would do it. We would leave our beautiful children with no tears. And we would get on the beach, and I'd have a book that I'd been wanting to read, and we would laugh and joke. Sometimes friends would come with us, and then I would come right back, and you've got to kind of, when you come back into the world when it's moving 1,000 miles an hour, you just got to jump, right? You can't ease in. It'll run you over. And man, I'd feel not rested at all, not rejuvenated at all, not recovered at all, and certainly not replenished in the deep spaces. Anybody else? Anybody got that testimony? It's what we're doing, guys. It's the broken way of doing it. So that's where I was. And I started to worry that I wasn't going to make it. You know what I'm saying? I started wondering, am I going to make it? I'd seen multiple guys that I'd known that I started with that had either kind of fizzled out or exploded in ministry. And I began to feel the weight of not wanting to bring reproach on the name of Jesus from doing something stupid. But things were moving so fast, and it was so chaotic, and the village was blowing up, and Acts 29 was going on, and I was writing books, and I was traveling all over the place, and I could just feel, the only way I know to explain, I felt thin, and I'd feel if I had a wheel, you know, that wheel was doing that, where you're just like, the thing's just going to pop off, and then God knows if I'll survive it. And so I went, and I needed help. I couldn't Bible verse my way out of it, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the sufficiency of Scripture. I'm not trying to take anything about the authority of Scripture away from the Bible. I had used theology to armor up and justify my way of living. And so I went and got some help, and then, deep work over a period of time. What I'm describing to you is 7 years long. It's not going to take that long in this sermon. The first thing I did is I took email off my phone. It was this simple little step. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nobody got really angry with me about that. I didn't drop any balls. It was like, man, I didn't even need to know that hit my inbox. Like, it's amazing. Like, when I got to it the next day, it was just there for me, you know? And I work in a field, called by God into a field where tragedy can strike at any moment. Second thing, I started putting my phone across the room at night before I got in bed. I don't know if you're picking up on my personality type. That thing be calling me. I mean, it just calls me. So it's great. It's going to have to call me from across the room. So I plug it in, leave it there, and I got in bed. That way an algorithm doesn't get me. You know that's the game, right? You got a specific algorithm that knows exactly how to hook you and pull you down a specific rabbit hole. You know that's happening, right? Yeah, you know it's happening because you're like, oh my gosh, it's 1:30. What happened? Yeah, so I'm not doing that. And then as far as the phone goes, then 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, it's off. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, it's off. And then I started to try to find time to breathe. I built out what's called a rule of life, places to pause throughout the day and just reorient myself. I started playing with a true legitimate Sabbath, like a literal 24-hour period where I'm going to give myself over to replenishment, not rest, replenishment. Rest and replenishment are not the same things. That was far more difficult than I could have ever imagined. Can I tell you a little secret? I had no idea what replenished me. I had no hobbies. So I was asking everybody. I was trying their stuff on. Like, I had a good friend that he fly fishes because he says when you fly fish, you can't think about anything else but fly fishing. And apparently that's true about me. Do I have two poles right now? What am I doing? And then here's what I learned about myself. I need to be outside. I need to be outside. I would have never guessed that about myself. I want to be outside. I want to walk a trail. I want to be alone. I want to... Like my extrovert needs some quiet time. And so then I started trying to just tweak it and play with it because I couldn't figure it out. I try to eat pretty clean. I ain't trying to eat clean on Sabbath. I'm trying to celebrate. I've been eating some nasty stuff, right? Some hot tamale candies mixed with a sandwich. I mean, it's just wild because this makes me happy. I'm going to do what makes me, I'm going to have my affection stirred for Jesus in a thousand ways. Everything about Sabbath is replenishment, refill me, reorient me, remind me. That's the rule of the day. And I'm constantly tweaking it. And then I started taking, and the elders have been so awesome, taking a few days just to get alone out, head out to, we've got a little place on the Brazos, just get out there and just be quiet, just be alone with Jesus. And for 7 years now, we've been tweaking it and playing with it, and I want to be honest with you, right now I'm having to rework everything. We are in a season of chaos in my house. The number of things we've got to do and get done, and deadlines that are upon us, and things that we're working through, and that they feel overwhelming. And here's what's true. That's a season, because I'm committed to doing whatever we can for that not to mark our lives and not justify that this is just what life is, because it's not just what life is. And so here's my question. As we end today, I think, and I wrestled with this one because I'm stuck in it right now. Like, if I came and I said, here's 8 things that I think you should do, you type A's are going to do it, and you won't be doing any of that 6 weeks from now. And then I want to say to you again, resonance is not obedience. Here's what I mean by that. If you're in here today and you're like, man, that's true. I'm glad he's saying that. We need to do something. And that's all that happens. Then this has resonated with you, but has not led you to obedience, because what's waiting for you outside these doors just to my left, or maybe you sneak out to my right, or maybe you go up that way, is life as it was when you walked in this door. So what little thing can you add immediately to fight against the tyranny of hurry and speed that so damages your soul? I can give you this little, I think things with the phone are huge. But and even as I say that, let me contradict myself. I think if you don't know where to start, there's a great app called the Pause app. It's called the Pause app. It's free. I think Eldridge puts it out. And it will lead you through a 1-minute pause. And then once you've graduated from that, you go to a 3-minute pause. Then once you graduate from that, I think you can go to a 5-minute pause. Once you graduate from that, I think there's a full-on 10-minute pause. So maybe there's no full day of Sabbath for you yet, but maybe we can get there. Deep work, over time, in community. What can you tweak right now in your journey to create space, to create quiet, to slow down and breathe so that you might feel what needs to be felt in order to bring it in the presence of Jesus? And let the Spirit of God heal, work, rearrange, expose, convict, reorient, and ultimately make you more like Jesus. I just gave you an option that would require 1 minute of your day. And I don't care who you are. You got that. But you need to, like, this is what I'm going to do, because what's waiting out there is your regular pace. I don't want to miss out on the beauty of life. I don't want to miss out on the depth. And I'll promise you this, you're going to be more creative. You're going to have more energy for work. You're going to have more insight. You're going to be deeper waters for it. The 80-hour grind depletes you so that you're a weak version of yourself. Replenishment, quiet, solitude, deep work makes you so much more effective in the space that God's placed you. I don't think there's anything more pressing than this great weapon levied against us in our day. So what's that thing? Let me pray for us. Father, bless these men and women. I just pray that you give some of them the spiritual gift of no right now. They just need to say no to some things. Help them see the things that they somehow got sucked into, and they hate it. They don't want to be doing it. And it's not necessary. They just don't want to let anybody down, or they don't want, God, I just pray you free them from that. Like, give them the freedom to say no to what needs to be said no to, so they can say yes to what you have for them. And I pray against fear. I know it's a real thing to think that if we take time, if we rest, that we're lazy, or that that people will discover that, man, we weren't missed, and therefore we should be replaced. And so I just pray against those lies. Slow us down. Give us depth. Help us to embrace our humanity. It's a beautiful thing to be human. And then I ask, Spirit of the living God, would you in your mercy help us find what you've got us to do, how you've wired us, built us. Help us do the work. It's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen.